So this morning, as we celebrate a pastor that you've already voted in and you're waiting for him to resign from his other job so he can get to work here, right? Where does this fit in the perspective of Scripture? We're 2,000 years into this, you know, idea of the local church. Jesus spent time with these initial disciples. And hopefully I'm not making your interpreters go crazy here. I'm changing a few things. And then it launched the church. And here we are 2,000 years later, singing praises to the Lord for the work of Jesus Christ on our behalf, celebrating local churches through which people make disciples and the gospel goes forward. But today we have an opportunity to reflect on God's design for his church. You see, God designed his church for growth. God designed his church for expansion. It shouldn't surprise us that here we are 2,000 years after Jesus Christ walking on this earth, still celebrating, still seeing the church grow, still seeing lives transformed by the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And so this morning I'd like to just stay right there on that theme, the life and the longevity of the church. The life means it's alive, it's growing. The church is both an organism and an organization, right? It has structure like an organization, but it's an organism. It was created for growth. And God designed it for longevity. And what I mean by that is it won't just be around for the number of years that you're here in Hamburg, Germany, but it will be around for your grandchildren, if it were possible that you would still be here and your grandchildren would be here. What would it look like for the church to still be around for our grandchildren? That's God's design for his church. It's full of life. It's meant to last, even in the International Baptist Convention. Sometimes we lament in the IBC. We think that things that other churches can do, we can never do because we pastor a parade. And so we think that the transitory nature of our churches prevents us from life and longevity. But I'm going to show you from the scriptures that's not the case. Jackie and I were missionaries for 22 years in southern Italy. We went to Naples as church planters. And as I meet missionaries, almost every missionary, probably every missionary would say that the goal of my work is that it outlast me. Whatever I do in the time that the Lord gives me with the call that he gave me will be less than satisfactory if when I'm gone, it fizzles out and dies. Does that make sense? But then when you say, well, how will you make it last? That's where it gets less clear. Jackie and I had the privilege in 1995 of meeting some missionaries in Naples, Italy. And I was traveling as a seminary student, and I was asking missionaries, what are you doing to turn over your church? I had learned that after World War II, missionaries had come to Italy and started churches. And so we were able to start churches, maybe not a lot of churches, but some churches. And so there was some relative measure of success. And yet, time after time after time, when those missionaries left, those churches were not set up for success, because they had not prepared the people that would follow them. And so we joined a vision that we were training our successors from day one. From day one, we were working ourselves out of a job. And here's the thing. You can do everything you believe you need to do to make that happen, but is it guaranteed that it will happen? It's not guaranteed. But if you don't do what you need to do, what is guaranteed? It will never happen. And so we were trying to do everything that we could do in order that it might happen. This is not here. I'm not, you know, we're here to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. The reality is the only thing that Jackie and I did was help finish the last part. We helped end the missionary presence in our church and turn it over to a local bilingual pastor named Danilo Boza. Danilo had come to us as a student when he was in Bible college. He would drive back and forth 2 hours on weekends to work with our youth group. And we saw potential in Danilo. And over the years, we would ask, and people would ask, will Danilo be our future pastor? Well, let's ask Danilo, right? And so we started to ask Danilo, do you have a call to be our pastor? The elders would ask Danilo, and Danilo would answer, and we'd say, we'll ask you again next month. We weren't convinced until 2018 in the fall when the answer was different. And 3 months later, the church unanimously voted on Danilo. And so God provided. He provided a successor so that the missionary time in the life of that church ended. And now Danilo has been 3 years. And last week, it was 3 years ago that I handed the baton to Danilo Boza. And so today we get to celebrate something similar in the life of your church. And it means something to many of you. Maria was telling me how much the prayer team's been praying for this time, right? But it has far greater meaning, maybe, than just what you realize here in Hamburg. This is God's design for his church. God designed his church for life and longevity. And what's happening today is part of that design. It's leaning into God's design and watching the church respond when we do the right things. There's an unfortunate reality that most of us understand in the local church. And it's represented in this graphic here. And it's called the Pareto Principle. Maybe you've heard of it, that 20% of your efforts produce 80% of your results. Have you ever heard of that? In time management, in leadership. Vilfredo Pareto was an economist in the last century. And he was Italian, but so he observed that 80% of the wealth in Italy was in the hands of 20% of the people. And so he made this principle of distribution. His idea was that this 20% of the people who had 80% of the wealth would eventually make that wealth trickle down to the rest of the people. Now, how well or not that ever happened, we could argue about, but this principle has been something now that we look at in other areas of life, and often we see 20% of our efforts produce 80% of our results. It seems to be true. And in the church, sometimes we say that 20% of the people do 80% of the work.
Amen.
I don't think that was God's design. God's design was not to apply Pareto's principle of distribution to the local church. And so, what is God's vision for his church? And we'll briefly look at this in just three verses in the book of Ephesians. God designed his church to be full of life and to last for generations. And so we see this in Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians is an epistle about the church. And the first part talks about all God did to bring us into the church and to unite us together. And then in chapter 4, Paul talks about how we live that out. You can go to the next slide. And so Paul writes in Ephesians chapter 4 that Jesus came bearing gifts to his church. These gifts were in the form of gifted people people who held roles that were gifted by him. And then he explains why he gave these gifts. In verse 11 it says, and he himself, Jesus himself, gave some as apostles, some as prophets, some as evangelists, some as pastors and teachers, or maybe this is one role. Why? To equip the saints for the work of ministry. That is, to build up the body of Christ. Apostles and prophets, evangelists, pastors and teachers, those are pretty impressive credentials, right? So we might think 20%, right? But, you know, for every Billy Graham, is Billy Graham a name that we all know? For every Billy Graham, we need millions of followers of Jesus Christ to share the gospel with their friends and their neighbors and their loved ones if we are to make disciples and see the church grow throughout the earth. And so God never meant for only a few to do the work of the ministry. And so Paul tells us that these leaders that God gave to the church, these ones who would launch the early church after Jesus, were there to equip others. If the pastor is your disciple maker, how long will your church be around? If you hire the pastor to be the disciple maker of the church, how long do you think your church will last? And what happens when the pastor leaves? What then? You might be an interim pastor, and most interims are like a year or two, 3 months, because their tourist visa runs out. Dan made 7 years out of it, right? Was it seven? Yeah. But eventually, we all go on. The reality is, no, you can stay on that one a little bit. Every pastor, please go back to the other one. Every pastor is an interim pastor. Whether you're there 3 months or a year or 2 years, you're an interim pastor. All of us hold the roles and positions and things that we have for a limited period of time because we're all mortal. None of us will be here eternally. And so the most important question is not how long will Dan be our pastor or how long will James be our pastor, but how are our pastor and our leaders equipping more and more and more people to share the ministry? Another way of looking at this would be to ask the question, who's responsible for the growth of the church? Who's responsible? Dan is, right? James is. No, we all are. We're all responsible for the growth of the church. I have a role. It's called the general secretary. It's an executive director role. I don't have any authority over churches. And so when I come alongside of a church, the question I ask myself is the question that we all ought to ask. How can I steward Jesus' church? What is Jesus asking me to do for his church? And so there are different roles, but a shared responsibility. We might say that some coach, but we all get to play. And so equipping is part of our experience in the local church. That's God's design for his church. It's an intentional church. It's a relational church, an equipping church. It's a place where we discover the gifting and the abilities that God has put into each one of us, and we develop those abilities. Because just because we have them doesn't mean that we do them well, right? And then, especially in a context like ours, where people are transitory, we deploy them to go take this to other places. And that's God's role for his church. And so that often looks like this. Hopefully this is the next slide, but I have my doubts. It's the one after this, I think. There it is. I think I stole this from the military. Because the military is another context where people are transitory. They're there for a while, and maybe that's true in the work world as well. But this idea of crawling, walking, and running. We should always have people in our churches at one of these three phases. When you come into the community, when you're new, when you become a member, you're not ready to start running, but you can start crawling. And then eventually you'll be ready to walk, and then you'll be running, and then they'll send you somewhere else. But if you've got other people coming along who are crawling and walking and running, then together, in whatever phase of life we're in, we are building up Jesus' church. And so if pastors are equippers, what is the other side of the equation? We can go back a slide. Sorry about that, Heiko. If pastors are interim pastors, and they're there to equip us or prepare us, then what is the role of the rest? It's the participation together. Every member is a minister. Sometimes we use the word minister to refer to our pastors, but we're all ministers in the local church. Why did these gifted people... Why did Jesus give them to the church to equip? To equip for what purpose? To equip the saints for the work of ministry. That is, to build up the body of Christ. And so that's how God designed his church. He designed it to be alive. He designed it to last for generations. And the way he did that was he designed it as a place where we can grow and be developed. He sees far more potential in you and me than we often see for ourselves. I would suspect, I don't know if I've asked James this, but for many years he never saw the kind of potential in himself to do what he has accepted to do now. I would say that's true of me. One of the things I try to do is remember what was it like when I used to sit there, never imagining this kind of role for myself. And so then what will it take for people like me, you, and to fill these roles in the future? And when I answer that question, then I know what I need to do to equip others and to prepare others, encourage others, inspire others, and engage them in the work that Christ has given us to do. And when we do that, the result, Paul says in verse 13, is that we attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, a mature person attaining to the measure of Christ's full stature. Maturity is God's desire for you and me. And now this is not an individualistic maturity. This is a corporate maturity. As each person does their part. And so we might ask ourselves another question. How does this happen? Sometimes, in my experience, we can go to the next slide, we've asked ourselves this question. Which comes first? Does someone need to be ready in order to serve? Or do you serve in order to become ready? This is a question you sometimes have around here. I don't know. So do we, you know, there can be some challenges. Sometimes we're overly selective. And until we see certain things in people, we don't allow them to serve. And then we don't have, sometimes we have another problem. We don't have enough volunteers. And we're not just talking about setting up chairs so that we can all eat. We're talking about people using the gifts that God has placed in them for the sake of his body, whatever those gifts are. And so sometimes we say, when we see your progress, then we'll invite your participation. So certainly in the case of James, you weren't going to make him your pastor until you saw some progress in his life. But sometimes it's in our participation that we make progress. You know, Jesus said to the one who's been entrusted little, right? More will be entrusted. So that is that idea. So sometimes participation leads to progress. Sometimes progress leads us to more participation. But the church is a place where we identify potential in people, where we invest in that potential, and then we unleash them into the work that God has for them. And so that's God's design for his church. God's church has multi-generational focus. Today, we get to celebrate what God has done in the role of pastor in this church. But God wants us to celebrate what he will do when none of us are still in the room. By God's grace, this church will still be alive and going on generations from now. God's design is for widespread participation. As we pray for James today and we lay our hands on him, the last thing that we should do is say, "Whew, glad you're here, I can go on vacation now. I need a break. I need a holiday. It's time for my sabbatical." And it's about progress. God's work always outlasts us, but it never overlooks us. God has a role for each one of us to play. And so what should we do? What's your next step? This helps me. When it comes to the work that God wants to do in and through us, there are always three parts. There's their part, there's my part, and there's God's part. How much are you and I in control or responsible for their part? How much am I responsible for their part? Zero. I'm not responsible at all for their part. How much am I responsible for God's part? I'm not responsible for that either. But the good news is he's 100% responsible. He's faithful. He will do his part. And so what does that leave? Just leaves my part. And so the question today for you and me is, what is my part? Simply do your part. That's all God is asking you to do. He has brought you into this body of believers because he wants you to grow. He wants you to serve. You have a part in building up the local church. James has a part as well. The leaders have a part. But we all build up the body as we share together in the ministry that God has for us today. So IBC Hamburg, let's celebrate. Let's celebrate. This is unusual. I was telling Maria, this is unusual. There aren't many times where I get to go to a place where leaders have been raised up from within. And there's no guarantee that that'll happen, right? And so this is a reason to celebrate. Praise God. Let's get behind James and Sandra and their family and the church and the leaders in this new season. There will be a honeymoon period, and then some things will happen, and he didn't do it like Dan did it, and he doesn't preach like Dan did it, he doesn't run a meeting like Dan did, or whatever. I don't know what's going to happen. You know, there will be worship wars. These things happen in the church. I don't know. I'm just making things up here. Hopefully none of this is going to happen. But let's get behind God's work. It's his church. IBC Hamburg is his church. Father God, may you receive all honor and glory, as has already been said today, for what you will do in your church. Thank you for bringing each one of us into this church. Thank you for raising up the Wentworths. Bless them as they take this step of faith and obedience to Jesus Christ in serving your church here. Thank you for Dan and Claudia and for their faithful years of service. Thank you for everyone who is together serving you to build up this body for the name of Jesus Christ, because he is worthy of all honor and glory, because he came and he gave his life for us when we were your enemies, when we were far from you, when we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And because of that, we approach your throne boldly today as your sons and daughters. Lord, we want to be used by you to build up your church so that more and more people will come to know Jesus and join our family. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.